If you would, open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to look at a passage here as the beginning point for our lesson this morning. This particular topic is one that was a requested topic, and I would like to point those out whenever I receive those, because I do want to remind everyone that if you do have a topic or a question or something like that that you want to hear a lesson on, I'm always open to receiving those and to put together a lesson like that, because I do want to be able to present lessons from the Word of God that are helpful to the people here and address questions that they have, or things that maybe they're talking to someone and they're, you know, trying to help them understand a certain topic and you know, wanting to know how to approach that, or maybe a different way than what they had thought of before. And also with this particular topic, this is one that I wouldn't necessarily think of to cover in a lesson on my own. But it's a good question. It's a good topic to consider. So we're going to talk about that in our lesson this morning. So we're starting in the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Ecclesiastes, you have the wise man speaking about the futility of life under the sun, meaning life here on this earth. And one of the reasons why he saw this as futile, that it is just vanity, is because of what he says in the verses that we're going to be reading here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, that all the things that he earned, all that he accumulated in this life, all the fruit of his labor, he was going to leave that to someone else. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17, he says, "So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore, I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and his striving for which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous, even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity." So he describes this reality that he was coming to grips with, the fact that he worked hard, he worked with wisdom, he was able to accumulate the possessions and the wealth that he had in this life. But then he realizes that, you know, once he's gone, that's going to go to someone else. And it's going to go to someone else who may squander it. He may act foolishly with it. And so he got to the point of where he's thinking, well, what's the point? You know, why did I do all of this? What was the reason why I spent all this time? That all my days were grievous. I worked hard. I did all of this. Then what's the point? We might raise the question, knowing this, knowing what he's realizing, for us today, we might raise the question, well, what should happen with what we've worked for, what we've accumulated, the wealth that we have, what we've been blessed with? What should happen with that when we die? Are there principles and instructions that are found in the Word of God that will help us answer that question? And yes, there are. And we're going to talk about those here this morning. So we're going to consider a few points that as we think about this, as we understand the reality, whatever we have, it doesn't matter if it's a lot or a little, but whatever we have is going to be left to someone else when we depart from this life. So what do we do with it? What do we do understanding this reality? Well, first thing that we need to remember is what is true? What is the reality about this situation that we are in regarding our life and the things that we have in this life? First, we need to understand that death itself is a reality for us, that we are not going to live forever, that we are going to one day pass from this life unless the Lord returns first while we are still living here on the earth. But unless that happens, we are all going to pass from this life one day. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. We are all going to face that. Everyone is going to experience that. And we also know that we cannot take our possessions with us when we go. The passage that was read for us in the scripture reading this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about the fact that we might have wealth, or we might work for these things, or strive for these things, but Paul said we brought nothing into this world and we can't take anything out of it either. Whatever we work for here, whatever we obtain here, it's for here. It's not going to help us after this life. We're not going to take it beyond there. So what we have now is not going to help us in the next life, in the afterlife, in eternity. Jesus asked the question in Matthew 16 and verse 26, what will it profit if man gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That if we could somehow... Solomon was the writer of Ecclesiastes, and he was wealthy beyond what any of us could really imagine. What if we were wealthier than Solomon? What if we could, as Jesus said there, hypothetically, we could gain the whole world? Well, what then? We're still going to pass from this life. We're still going to die. That is not going to help us when we meet the Lord in judgment. It's not going to help us get to the place that we want to reach in heaven with the Lord. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Now, the things that we have in this life, the wealth, the possessions, all the things that God has blessed us with, they are useful here. They're useful in this life. There's an interesting verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 that... this is one of the verses I like to point out to people because it sounds like something that shouldn't be in the Bible, but when we understand what this verse is teaching, we know why it is here. But it says in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 19, it says, men prepare a meal for enjoyment and wine makes life merry, and money is the answer to everything. The way we often think about money is we oversimplify the passage that was read for us in the scripture reading. Money is the root of all, or the love of money is the root of all evil, and we shorten that to think that money is the root of all evil, but that's not what the scriptures teach. Money itself is God blesses us with that. It depends on what we do with it and how we view it and what our attitude is toward it. That's what changes whether it's going to be something that's going to help us or hurt us. The wise man says here in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 19 that money is the answer to everything. Money is useful in this life. Money is able to be used to help us to carry out the responsibilities that we have, to do what the things that we need to do in this life, to protect us from hardships and difficulties and harm that might come. The wise man said in Proverbs 10 and verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his fortress, and the ruin of the poor is their poverty. Now, he's not saying that the rich man is a good person or a bad person, or the poor man is a good or bad person. That's not under discussion here. He's simply saying that if a rich man has wealth, that is able to protect him. It's able to help him avoid some of the difficulties that the poor man faces because the poor man doesn't have that protection. So our possessions can help us here. They're useful here, but that's the extent of it. They can't help us beyond that. And so we don't need to get caught in the temptation to trust in our riches and trust in whatever God has blessed us with, because they're temporary, they're fleeting, they will not last in eternity. We're going to leave them here. We look over in Acts chapter 5, and there's the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and the sin that they committed in lying to the Holy Spirit. As you had other members of the church there, because of the great need that had arisen, you had some wealthy members of the church that they had property and they had houses that they were able to sell, and they brought the money to the apostles so they could distribute to the Christians there who were in need. Well, you have Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, and the first few verses of that chapter, they see what's going on and say, well, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to sell a piece of property, and we're going to bring the money to the apostles. But what happens, or what happened with them, verse 1, they sold a piece of property. Verse 2, it says they kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. So others were selling property, selling their houses, and bringing all of the proceeds of those sales, bringing all of it to the apostles so they could help the Christians in need. Ananias and Sapphira see this, and they sell a piece of property, but they keep some of the price of the that they got from the sale, and they bring part of it to the apostles. Well, verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. The sin was not in keeping back some of the money. Peter says, it was yours to do what you were going to decide to do with it. You could have sold it. You could have not sold it. You could have kept it for yourself. And sometimes we may have different reasons. People have different responsibilities as far as maybe taking care of family and things like that. One person might be able to provide more than or give more than someone else can. So Peter says here, it was under your control. You could have sold it or not sold it. After you sold it, you could have kept some of the money. You could have brought all the money. The problem was they lied to the Holy Spirit. They presented it as if it was the full amount. So the point here that he's making is that you were free to choose what you did with that property, because that was a blessing that they received from God. You are free to choose what you do with that. We are free to choose what we do with the things that we have been blessed with in this life. That doesn't mean we're free from consequences of choices that we make. We might make good decisions or bad decisions, wise or unwise, or even sinful decisions with what we do with our possessions, but we're free to make those choices. We are going to be held accountable to God for how we do this, but we can make those choices for what we do with the things that we have been blessed with in this life. So as we think about what we have, knowing that death is a reality, knowing that we can't take these things with us, well, what do we do with our possessions? How do we view them, or how do we prepare for our departure from this life and make arrangements for what's going to happen with what we are leaving behind? When the wise man spoke of leaving the fruit of his labor to someone who would come after him, in that passage that we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he described it as vanity. That it's pointless, it's meaningless. That, you know, I did all of this, I worked hard, I worked with wisdom, I accumulated all of this, and then what's the point? Because I'm leaving it to someone else. Why did he see that as vanity? Well, as we read, one of the reasons was that the person who receives this from him, he may be a fool. He said there in verse 19, and who knows, the person who's going to receive this, who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? That he labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill in verse 21, but now I'm leaving it to someone who didn't have to labor with that. He could squander it. He could not appreciate it because, you know, he didn't have to work for it. So he's not going to think in terms of, well, we have this, it's for to do good with, for to provide for the family, to, you know, for protection against unforeseen circumstances. He may not see it that way. He may be more like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, who wanted his portion of the inheritance even before his father had passed away. Wanted his portion of the inheritance. His father gave it to him. He took it and went to a far country, and he squandered it. He lost everything because he lived a sinful life, a wasteful life, and ended up with nothing, and trying to just barely survive by feeding the pigs and wanting to eat the food that he was feeding the pigs. He wasted all of it. And the wise man said, that That could happen. I could leave all of this to someone and they could just squander it. They could waste it. So he looked at this reality, looked at what was happening and saw it as vanity, because whoever gets this may not use it the way that I know it ought to be used. And they may not appreciate it. They may squander it. But another reason why he saw this as vanity was because he was focused on things under the sun. The book of Ecclesiastes focuses on this. And you can see this phrase repeated in the verses that we read. In verse 17, it talks about the things that have been done under the sun. Verse 18, I had labored under the sun. Verse 19, acted wisely under the sun. Verse 20, it talks about laboring under the sun. It just goes on and on. Talks about everything that's done under the sun. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. It focuses on this life. And if all we focus on is this life, if we fail to look beyond that, then yes, everything is vanity. It is all striving after the wind. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does a man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. He says in verse 14, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. Verse 11 of chapter 2, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. He was focused on this life and only this life. Now, by the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he realizes what his purpose is. He realizes what is truly important, that his purpose, our purpose in life, is to fear God and keep his commandments, as he said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. But the whole book leading up to that is him trying to figure out, because he had forgotten that. He had gotten off track. He was not focused on that. He was focused on the things of this life. And he realized that when that's what our focus is, that it is all vanity. What's the point? We're going to die. We're passed from this life. We can't take things with us. And here, for this reason, as we're talking about Ecclesiastes 2, what he worked for, what he obtained, is going to go to someone else. So he sees this as vanity because, number one, that person who receives it may be a fool or may act foolishly with it. And two, because he is looking only at the things of this life. He's not looking beyond that. So we need to think about this question from not a worldly perspective, but a heavenly perspective. Not looking at life just under the sun, but looking beyond this. So we know that we will pass from this life. That's a reality. It doesn't matter if we understand what the scriptures teach or not. There are a lot of people who are out in the world and know nothing about the Bible and don't believe in God, but they know they're going to die one day. And they know that they're going to leave things behind. But that's a reality. Everyone knows that. That's true for everyone. We know we are going to pass from this life, and whatever we have here is going to be left behind. We are also told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we noticed the passage earlier where we are warned about the love of money and not being led astray because we put so much into that that we forget what is really important. But he says in verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, in giving instructions to those who are rich, he says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. We are to do good with what God has blessed us with. Do good with what we have, and even be willing to share these things. And this is especially true when we think about the fact that we are going to depart from this life at some point. He says in verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Verse 19, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. We are trying to do what is good and right and wise with what God has blessed us with, because we're looking forward to a reward in heaven. We're looking forward to that. Verse 7, he said, we brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of it either. That is the reality. We know we are going to depart from this life. We know we are going to pass from this life one day. So what do we do with our possessions? Well, just as we are free to choose how we use our wealth or our possessions here, we talked about that principle in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. Peter told them, you know, while this property was unsold, it was yours. You could do whatever you want with it, sell it or not sell it. That was your choice. Once you sold it, it was still under your control. You could give all the money, give part of the money. You could. That was your choice. You could have done what you decided to do with that. We can choose in this life how we use the possessions that we have and how we use the wealth that we have. We are also free to make arrangements for what happens to that when we're gone. So as we think about, well, if we can do that, what might that include? If we're looking at this from a heavenly perspective, not an earthly perspective, because the worldly perspective in Ecclesiastes says, well, I'm just going to leave it to someone and he might be a fool and he might squander all of it. Then what's the point of all the things that I did? What might this include? If we, you know, we can make the choice. I'm going to make arrangements that when I'm gone, this is what is going to happen with all of this. Number one, we can make sure that we take care of our family. This is the primary responsibility that we have in this. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, as far as what we do while we are here in this life, Paul said that if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That we are responsible here to take care of our family, to provide for them. And if we forsake that responsibility, now this is not talking about those who, because of injury or accident or illness, that they cannot do this. This is talking about someone who is able-bodied and is able to provide for his family, but just says, I'm not going to do that. He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We have a responsibility to take care of our family. And even as we look past this life, there's responsibility there as well. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul mentioned this almost in passing, but he talks about this principle here of parents leaving something or helping to provide for their children even after they are gone. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, he says, here for this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. So he's saying, I'm not trying to take advantage of you. I'm not trying to enrich myself from you. And notice what he says after that. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Now, there are times, and Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 15, where children do help their parents when they are older, when they are in need, and they need help in order to take care of themselves. But Paul says here that the parents, what they're responsible for, what they are trying to do, is to help their children, and even would include after they depart from this life. Over in Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. A good man, one who is following after godly principles, one who is trying to serve the Lord and thinking, what do I need to do? Not just with what God has blessed me with here, but what can I do with that after I'm gone? What can be done then? He says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, obviously, there are times where someone may not be able to have anything to leave to children, let alone grandchildren. But as we look at what he's talking about here, this is what he would be striving for. that I can leave something not just to my children, but also to my children's children, to my grandchildren. Why did he say a good man does that? Because the characteristics that are necessary for one to leave something behind for his children and his grandchildren. He shows characteristics of selflessness, that he's not just looking out for himself. He's trying to help those who are coming after him. He shows diligence, that he worked hard in his life, that he was able to accumulate something that he was able to leave behind. And he exercised good stewardship because he didn't waste what he had. He was able to hold on to it. He was able to have it where he could pass it down to his children and his grandchildren. That's why the wise man says here, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not that it always works out that way, but that's what those characteristics of selflessness, diligence, good stewardship, that's what we all strive to exhibit in our lives. And this is what the good man does, and if he is so blessed, is able then to provide, after he's gone, something for his children and his grandchildren. So we can take care of our family and make arrangements for that when we're gone with the things that God has blessed us with here. We can also leave something for the Lord's work as we think about the work of the church, and as that is carried on, we also leave something there as well. We remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2 that talk about our responsibility to give on the first day of the week, that we are responsible to do that. As God has blessed us and God has caused us to prosper, we give back to Him a portion of what He's blessed us with on the first day of the week. We do that, you know, each time we come together on the Lord's Day. We have an opportunity for us to provide something to give back to the Lord. We take up the collection in that way. But even beyond this life, we can honor the Lord using what He's blessed us with. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce. And that principle there, that we have our wealth, we have our possessions, because God has blessed us with them. We try to think, well, how could we honor God with this? Well, we can, just as we give back in this life to the Lord, we can do the same thing in, you know, as we make arrangements for what can happen to our possessions after this life is over. There was a brother who passed away years ago and was a successful businessman and made arrangements that after his family and everything was taken care of, to provide additional help to or support or contribution to various churches in Kentucky and Tennessee, and the church here was able to receive some money from his estate because he made arrangements. It was very deliberate. He made arrangements to make sure that he took what he had accumulated in this life, that God had blessed him with a great amount of wealth in this life. He took care of his family. He took care of all of them because that is the primary responsibility. But then he also wanted to make sure that he could help churches throughout Kentucky and Tennessee to help them, that they could do their work, and that has helped us to be able to continue on and do some of the things that we have been able to do here. And, you know, we've done some things as far as sending materials and books and things overseas and Bibles overseas. We've been able to do things like that in part because you have someone who looked beyond, you know, just what this life is. Well, what can I do? What help can I be? We can do that. So that's another thing we can do, is we look ahead and think, well, I need to take care of my family. I need to make sure that's taken care of. But there, I can also make arrangements that what God has blessed me with here can also help do the Lord's work even after I'm gone. We can also leave something and make arrangements for what we have left behind to be able to help carry out some good works. We have opportunities now in this life to do good and to help people, sometimes monetarily, sometimes not, and sometimes we help in other ways. But we have opportunities to help various ones and to do various good works. In Galatians 6 and verse 10 tells us, that as long as we have opportunity, or as we have opportunity, we are to do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, the opportunities that we have, it's not just about what situations that we come in contact with or the people that we find who are in need, but it also depends on our ability to be able to help. That we have to have the resources. That's why we are told to work, that we can be able to share with someone who has need, as Ephesians chapter 4 talks about. We work and be able to do that, but we're also working to meet our responsibilities here to our family. We have provide for ourselves. We can do those things, or we have to do those things. So we are sometimes more limited with the help that we can give others. Even if we try to be generous, we can't just give all of our possessions to someone that we find in need, because, well, we still have to take care of our family. We still have to do things that God has told us to do. But once we're gone, once we pass from this life, well, we don't have to provide for ourselves anymore, because we're not here. And again, we take care of our family first, but there may be other things that we can do, or we can make arrangements that, well, I don't have to worry about making sure that I'm taken care of anymore, because, you know, I'm gone from this life. So what else could be done? Well, we may be able to make arrangements that we can have our, you know, the wealth that we have, or what God has blessed us with, be able to use that to help others and to do good to those who are around us. There's a church in Texas that Wayne Partain is a member of the church there, who preached for decades. He's in his 90s right now, but preached for decades in among Spanish-speaking brethren, working with churches in Latin America. And now, of course, he's not able to travel and to do all that, but there was a woman that he knew who was able to put a amount of money aside, that after she's gone now, they made arrangements where he is able to use that money to have books printed and Bible study books printed in Spanish and sent to for free to anyone in Latin America, or even in the United States, the Spanish-speaking brethren, anyone who needs those books, and they're able to do that. That she was able to take what God had blessed her with, and now, even though she's gone, through the work that he's doing, able to get those materials to people that would not be able to have them before, and not be able to receive them. There are things that we can do that, if we want, when we look past this life and we think, well, okay, this is what God has blessed me with here. What can I do with that once I'm gone? Or what can be done with that? What arrangements can I make? We need to take care of our family. That is first. But we can also look and say, well, what can I do to help the Lord's church, that it can keep doing its work? What can I do to help those who might be in need, and be able to continue or to assist some work that is being done to help them? We can do those types of things. And we can look ahead to that. And we have a responsibility to do that, to the degree that God has blessed us in this life. And as we think about, you know, what we have here, everything that we have is a blessing from God. And it doesn't matter how much or how little it is. We may not be a successful business person where we end up with an estate of millions or even billions of dollars. We may not be that rich. But to whatever degree God has blessed us, those are things that we receive from Him. We are to be good stewards of what He's given us. We are to do good with what He has provided for us. And part of that involves deciding what to do with these blessings and what arrangements to make once we're gone. We may not always like to think about that, but it is something that is good for us to consider, to think, how can the blessings I've received from God, how can they be used for good even after I'm gone? So those are some things that we can think about as we ponder this topic, and we look ahead to the future, knowing that we are going to pass from this life one day and go to the reward that God has promised us, and what he's blessed us with is going to stay here. And what can be done with it? What good can we continue to do even after we're gone? So we close the lesson and extend the invitation. We want to invite anyone who is not a Christian to become one. All of these things we've talked about this morning have been about what we do with the blessings that God has given us. But the way that we think about this, the way that we approach this, is, as we've talked about, we don't want to approach it from a worldly perspective, but from a heavenly perspective, because that is our ultimate goal. And if you're here this morning and you recognize that heaven is more important than anything in this life, but you haven't made preparations or haven't made arrangements that you can be with the Lord for eternity in heaven, then we would encourage you to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and are willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you can be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. If you've done that and have fallen away and need to make correction in your life, then we would encourage you to do that. Pray to God and ask him for forgiveness. If we could help you or encourage you in any way, we'd be happy to do whatever we need. Whatever it is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.